We thank you that we're following your lead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, David. Bible, gum, notes. Anyone for some gum? No, seriously, who wants some gum? If you want some gum, you can have some. Have some gum. I just want to say one thing. Maybe some of us are new, and you may be thinking, why did we sing at the end, Majesty, 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 Majesty? One of the things that I've learned about worship is, if we write songs about ourselves and if we sing about ourselves, we become arrogant. Do you have any arrogant friends? Conceited friends who think so much of themselves, they never think about other people. It's basically, most pop culture songs are arrogant songs. Nice tunes to listen to sometimes. They drop in your heart and in your mind and you sing along, you know. They don't talk to me at night, you know. You sing them, Liquid Spirit, you know all of those. There's some of you that know what I'm talking about. You know, they drop it, but they're arrogant songs. But it's about singing about ourselves. But when we sing to God, we become beautiful. When we sing about ourselves, we become arrogant. And I'm just wanting to drop that with you. Because maybe you were thinking, why do we do this over and over? It's not for us, it's for the King. Because when we sing to the King, we become beautiful. But when we sing about ourselves, we become arrogant. I started a series which I spoke to the men about. Every man has a secret place. I called it now, everyone has. Not every man, because there's some woman that will think, but man in the sense of mankind. Everyone has a secret place. I spoke to the men about it about 15 minutes at combined men's small group. And then I preached it in South Africa when I was there the last Sunday before I came back, because the church in Worcester asked me if I couldn't preach there. And then I felt when I came here, God said that I must preach it also here. So I preached it here, and I started with it last week in Shofar Weybridge. And basically I looked at the secret place as the place where we have our battles. The secret place is the place where we win our battles. The secret place is the place where you decide how you will treat other people. Isn't it so? You make up your mind there. So the secret place, number one, is your battleground and my battleground. Secondly, the secret place could be the place where we fake it. Could be. We can fake it there. We can really say things that we really don't mean. And we can really commit to things that we really don't want to do. You know how it works. Everyone's got that place. And I spoke of that on last week. And then I also spoke about the secret place is the place where we can have victory. You and I, we can spend time with God. And when we leave that place, we know that we will be victorious. Even if our circumstances are very dark. And that's the place where we surrender to God. And important note for last week, you can listen to the sermon, but no man or woman are greater than their secret place. We are not greater than our secret place. You're not. I'm not. Whatever happens there determines how my life goes. Because truth works like that. It goes to the depth of our hearts when we have to put our head on our pillows, and then God speaks to us clearly there. But now today, we're going to do a character study about a guy called Epaphras. We're going to look at his secret place. Now, I could have used Abraham this morning. I read Genesis chapter 18, where God, Abraham's secret place with God, where they're talking about Sodom. And Abraham says, I have this conversation about God, don't destroy Sodom. But we're not going to look at that. I could have looked at Daniel, but I want to look at Epaphras because he's overlooked in Scripture. So I just want to look at him on three levels. The character of a man with a healthy secret place, the conduct of a man in his secret place, and the sacrifice of a man in his secret place. Let's start first with the character of a man with a healthy secret place. In the book of Colossians, Scripture says this. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7, if we can read that. Just as you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, And then in Philemon chapter 1, verse 23, Philemon's got only one chapter. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greeting to you. The character of this man is immaculate. Scripture says Epaphras, first of all, he's beloved. Right there. We miss it. He's beloved. He's a fellow. In other words, he won't drop you. Nor backstab you. Nor lie to you. But he's also a servant. In other words, he's learned that in this church, Colossae, which a lot of scholars believed he planted, he would know that to be a good leader, you need to be a servant. And you don't serve people, you serve the purposes of God in people. It's a big difference. We don't serve people, we serve the purposes of God in people. There's a difference between the two. As we serve the purposes of God in people, we serve them. Sometimes we want to try and serve people's needs, which is in one sense biblical. But if the need is not from God, if it's not a godly need, then it's a fleshly need. You know, but he was a servant. I'm not going to go deep into that. He was a servant. He was beloved. And then Scripture calls of him, he's faithful. He was a faithful, but a faithful what? He was a faithful minister of the gospel. And he did it on people's behalf. So it was never about him. And then Scripture also says he was a fellow prisoner. He was willing to go to jail. So we see here the character of a man with a healthy, healthy, healthy secret place. We're going to look at his secret place now. But I just want you to see who we're talking about. It's like his CV. Isn't this a great CV? I mean, if people can talk about us in this way. He even greets people from prison. He doesn't ask for anything. He just says, look, I'm sending you my greetings. In Christ, I'm sending you my greetings. So we've got this character description of this guy, Epaphras. And then in Colossians chapter, if we go to the next slide, 4 verse 12, Paul says this about him. The same book, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. Now, ladies and gents, this is a friend that you would want. You know, sometimes we think of friendship in terms of the people we get along with best, that carries our interest, and the people that we can have a barbecue with, or go with us to a show. We can have coffee with them, and they're just so nice to hang around with. Now, Epaphras was not a nice to hang around buddy. In a biblical sense, Epaphras was a friend. Why? Just look at how his secret place looked like. The conduct of this man with this beautiful character. Number one, Epaphras prayed always for them. Do you see the word there? So the first point that I'm making, Epaphras was a faithful prayer warrior. Epaphras, on your behalf, in his prayers, he did it always. In other words, they could depend on Epaphras praying for them. He was a dependable prayer warrior. He was a dependable friend. Epaphras knew that if he was on his knees for the church could keep on standing. Now, isn't that a cool friend to have? Somebody that can stay on their knees on behalf of us so that we can keep on standing. Look, if you cannot count on people praying for you and for me, who can we count on? Let's just be honest today. If we cannot count on people praying for us, who can we count on? I can remember in Vista, there was this lady. She liked walking. Older lady, she was about 62, 63. And then one morning, as I'm opening up our curtains, I see her standing in front of our home praying, laying hands on this tree that was overlapping the fence, praying. And I knew she was praying for us, and I was thinking, now this is a friend. Almir went now to small group this past Wednesday in Vista, to a small group with ladies. All of these women were over 55. The oldest one was 69. When she came in, the leader of the small group started crying, and this was the leader's words: Almir, we pray for you and Carlos and your family every day. Every Wednesday we pray for you. So Almir said it was crying and having tea, and they talked, and then they prayed for her, and Almir said they prayed our life story for the past 11 months. They prayed it. Almir said she was sobbing. But she was in the midst of people that prayed for her always, faithfully. Secondly, always what? Struggling. He wasn't just praying faithfully, he was praying fervently for them. Struggling. Epaphras fought for people on their knees. He kept them bowing. He kept them standing while bowing and surrendering to God. He contended for them. He fought for them because of his affections for them. Nowadays, people want to pray against. They don't pray for anymore. For a cause. For people. But that's what Epaphras did. He's a beautiful guy. My first day I got saved, one of my friends, I'm not going to mention his name, at the school, he and his wife started having marital problems. Tough. And one day I was talking to him, and he said, look, it has come to this now, we have to go to court. I received the letter, and the summons is going to go to court. And I asked him, I don't know why I asked him this, but I just asked him, do you want to do this? He said, no, I don't want to divorce my wife. And then that day as I went home, walking home, I just felt in my spirit, God says, pray for this. Fight for this. Struggle on his behalf. So me and Elmery got together. I shared this story with him. We really love him. And we prayed. We struggled until we felt release. The Friday he wasn't in school. Monday he's back because he was summoned on the Friday. Monday I asked him, so how did it go to court? He said, no, weird thing. The docket was lost. The bailiff and the clerks, they couldn't find the docket. So they decided to write out a new one, and the new date is for that. And then I felt God again saying prayer. And so me and Almir got together again. We just fight for it. We fought for them. Fought until we felt the release. And then by the next day, Monday again, I asked him, so he said, well, the docket was gone again. I said, okay. And me and my wife just decided we're just going to leave this. We're going to wait. Today they're happily married, beautiful kids. But God put me through the school, not on my behalf. But you see, there's something that I saw and I learned about God. God fights for people. He doesn't just leave them. I mean, he really goes out of his way. And God was showing me how he wanted to fight for my friend on his knees. But then, always struggling on, not on other people's behalf, on your behalf. Epaphras prayed for them personally. The third F. Faithfully, fervently, he prayed for them face to face. Reading the book of D.L. Moody, I think, his wife told him, you pray so much. Every time I find yourself praying, and he said, I have more than 3,000 members in my congregation and I don't know what is going on in their hearts. But God forbid me that I should spend time with him regularly so that I can know what's going on in their lives. It was personal. It was for them. It is such a humbling thing when God tells us intimate and special things about his people. It's a humble ministry when you're alone and you pray for your husband, you pray for your wife, you pray for your friends in church, and God tells you intimate things about them. Not to gossip about or to tell other people about, but to pray for them. Epaphras could say, I know you because I know the one who knows you. Do we know each other because on our knees we know the one that knows us? Do we know Lara because we know how the one that created Lara feels about Lara, how he feels about Lara? Do we know Ian because the one that created Ian is saying things about Ian to me on my knees and I'm praying it? I don't necessarily have to tell Ian about it, but I can pray. The Apostle Paul says, my little children, for whom I labor in love, that Christ must be formed in you. It's a love labor for people. And then Epaphras prayed on your behalf in his prayers that you what may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras, the fourth forward, focused prayer. He didn't just pray that you would have a great day and then it wouldn't snow for you and that the weather could be cool so that you could jog and then you'll get a raise. No. Epaphras is praying that people would get mature in Christ, that they would know what the will of God is, because he knew if you know what the will of God is, you're obedient and you're successful. He prayed for specific things. He prayed that they would know God and God's will. This must be our biggest sharpening tool toward each other. Scripture says iron sharpens iron. Friends sharpen one another. If you have a friend that's always challenging you about your life, that is miserable, and challenging you how to make your life better, you've got a good friend. I'm not talking about an arrogant friend. I'm talking about a friend that has prayed for you, can sit you down and can tell you, can I be honest with you? That boyfriend, he's going to drop you in 4 months. I've looked at his eyes, and when we're together, when I look at his eyes, he's not looking at you, he's looking at other ladies. His eyes... He's got bedroom eyes. You know. Now that's a good friend. Or that friend says, you know, every time you talk about other people, I feel a bit uncomfortable because they're actually gossiping about them. Yet we stop talking about other people when you have coffee. Now that's a good friend. And the friend says, I've prayed for you for this. Oh, isn't it amazing? Representing people before God like Epaphras did, the conduct of a man in his secret place, is the most precious ministry that we can ever have. I don't see any other ministry more humbling and at the same time more glorious than just praying for people. And nowadays, nobody will say no for prayer. Isn't it so? At one stage, it's like, I need prayer, man. Please, help me. And then we lay our hands on people, and on behalf of them, we represent them before God. And maybe I should tell the story again. I told it last week. I can remember after Alma and myself had a disagreement, and it was about our first or second year of marriage. And I prayed to God. For those of you who don't know, Alma is my wife. And I prayed. And it was a very harsh, disrespectful prayer. And I can remember God stopping me and telling me, if you're not going to represent your wife respectfully in front of me, don't talk to her about me. And then he said this, Almri is your best gift that you will ever have on this side of eternity. Treat her with respect. How we represent people in our secret place says a lot about ourselves, even our wives. And then last but not least, the sacrifices of a man in his secret place. We can clearly see that apart from our sacrifice, the Lord in prayer, and still Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrificial prayer warrior for us in his secret place. And I'm going to end with this. The scriptures are not there, but I want you to listen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. Look what Jesus says to Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. The devil had a conversation with Jesus about Peter. He demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is the ultimate prayer wherein we can learn from, because Jesus is praying for each and every one of us as we are being sifted as wheat. Please don't think that the enemy is not having conversations about you with Jesus. Please don't think that. I'm telling you this up front today. There's conversations about each and every one of us in heaven to sift us as wheat. It's a fact. But watch what Jesus says to Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus didn't say, Peter, I prayed that they will go away. Peter, I prayed that it will go better. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, I prayed that your faith will not fail. Now I can tell you, if Christ is praying that for you, stand strong. The second one. Jesus is praying for us in His Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 to 40. Matthew 26, 39 to 40. And going a little farther, He fell on His face praying, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Your will. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. So just before Jesus went to the crucifixion, He told the disciples, Pray with Me. He prayed. When He came back, the disciples were sleeping. You know us, we fall asleep at the most crucial times. Isn't it so, Margot? So Jesus just said, okay, sleep. But I'll pray on your behalf. I'm settling this thing with my Father. Even when you're tired and you cannot keep on, just remember in Gethsemane, Jesus demonstrated the way He prayed for us. Number three, Jesus even prayed on the cross. Luke chapter 23 to 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they cast lots to divide. These comments. When Jesus hung on the cross, He prayed. It's a powerful prayer. He said, Father, forgive them. In His moment of biggest pain, Christ prayed for other people. Now That's powerful. I'm taking my cue from Jesus now. We're moving from Epaphras to Jesus. And then number four, He prayed. He's praying at the right hand of the Father. Romans chapter 8, 34 says, and I'm going to end off with this. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus came, He died on the cross. Did I give the scriptural reference now? Did I? Okay. He died, He rose again, and Jesus is constantly praying for us on the cross. Look, everybody prays because everybody worships. Everybody believes in something. If it's not God, you believe in something. It's either yourself or it's Buddha. There's lots of things to believe in. But everybody worships automatically. And because everybody worships automatically, because you must make that choice. We don't make the choice not to worship. We just make a choice who to worship. And because we make a choice who to worship, we'll pray to that thing that we do worship. But now when I read, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And just see, would you like to pray to this man called Jesus? Because you'll see immediately, I can relate with him. I can relate with this man. And there's a reason why we can relate to Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus' prayer in the times that he was suffering most is a cut above every other God. Imagine you being crucified and then somebody pray, Father, forgive them. I don't see that in any other spiritual literature. I don't see it. There's not stories of Muhammad or Allah, Buddha. There's not stories, but there's a story about this man hanging on a cross. In fact, who's a historical figure praying like that. It's mind-boggling. How could somebody pray that? Jesus prayed on the cross, Father, I now commit my spirit to you. Jesus didn't die. He committed his spirit to the Father. He didn't die. He decided how and when he was going to die. But the interesting thing is, for us, isn't that amazing prayer life? Then scripture says he rose again and he's praying for us on the right hand side of the Father. My prayer the morning that I got saved was, God, I have only one request. Please don't laugh at my request. I said, God, if I go to church tonight, please let the worship team sing The Potter's Hand. That was my only request. As I heard his voice, he already spoke to me clearly. God will speak to you in your own voice. You will know it's him. It will just convict you. So I was, you know, like anybody that wants to be saved, they're at church first. I was there with a band and the AV guys sitting there, and I'm thinking, where's the other Christians? And then the band started singing The Potter's Hand. So now I want to cry. I'm just thinking, somebody must pray with me. And somebody must do something because I need something to happen. In your prayer life, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can only grow as mature as the thing that you pray to. You cannot grow more mature than the thing that you pray to if it's not God. If we worship the Big Bang it is. If we worship evolution, evolution it is. Our ancestors being monkeys. That's your inheritance. I worship a God who created me. I pray to a God who speaks back. And that is what I want to live in. Laura, if you could come, please. This morning as I was praying, God showed me clearly some of us have grown to a place where we can only pray to God when we need something from Him. Don't worry, I've been there a lot. We cannot pray to God anymore because we want to be with Him. Just be with Him. He's more real than my own family. This week I was alone at home. This is going to be my second week alone. just sitting there reading the scriptures, and the times God just visited me in a living room this week, it was just so liberating. Speaking to my wife, taking 3 days off on that side just to pray, saying she couldn't sleep one evening, 2 till 6. And then God just tangibly visiting you there. Every fear leaving, and you don't want to leave because you know I need to be here. This is how it feels like. I don't want to leave this place. I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to speak to that. But you know what? God says if you want that, you should just confess, God, I want it. I come by faith. I cannot come any other way to hear you and to see you and to feel you. But I come by faith, and you've got to speak, because God, you're the Epaphras. You're on the right-hand side of the Father, and though Epaphras is a beautiful brother praying, Jesus, you're the one that's on the right-hand side of the Father interceding for humanity non-stop, day and night. And this morning as we were praying, Laura just received a vision as we prayed, a bowl full of gold. And it was full and was tipping, and I believe what God was saying, it's all the prayers of the saints that's being tipped over. It's the time that God is going to give us all the things that we've been asking according to His will. Because we've kept on asking, seeking, and we kept on knocking. And He says in that prayer, He will not give us a stone if we ask Him for bread. If we ask according to His will, He will not drop us. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Press in. Ask God to bring us that place of clarity. And, you know, pray for other people. Pray that God will shape them in the Spirit. Pray that God will shape you in the Spirit. It took me more than 10 years to come to a place where I'm now right there where God wants me just to take up my DJ gloves again and start ministering the gospel through DJing. Why? Let me tell you why. When I got saved as a DJ, I sold everything, I gave everything away. And you know what happens? God had to sanctify the gift that He has given me. And then I got saved. And as I threw everything away, I decided one day. And so I bought some hip-hop gospel. And I bought some techno gospel and some house gospel. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to use the hip-hop now and I'm going to worship God. And I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I want you to speak to me as I'm doing this. And as I'm doing it on hip-hop, this guy's name is Lamar, as I'm worshiping, I just hear this voice in my right ear, holy. I got the fright of my life. It knocked me to my knees, and God says, don't bring what you do in the nightclub into my holy sanctuary. Don't. It's fine if you listen to that type of music, but don't duplicate that when you want to worship me. Why am I saying this? God will meet us wherever we are if we just pray to Him. So let's pray. Father, right now I pray that you will speak to your people, because you're the God that speaks. And God, speak to your people. If we, as our eyes are closed, if we are at a place where we only pray to God nowadays when we need things, and you want that relationship restored with Him where you can pray with Him, just to be with Him, I want to pray with you. And then, I just see this picture of this lady. You must make a decision. You're in this valley of decision. But I see you surrounded by a lot of boys and girls. And they're offering you so much. And you're thinking, God, is it worth it to walk away from all that they are offering towards you? If that is you, I want to pray with you. I'm sensing there's people you can't even pray anymore. You can't pray longer than 2 minutes. There's just this block. I want to pray with you. Some people I see being gagged. You can't speak, and God is going to take that gag off so that you can start saying how you feel. Some of us find it very difficult to express our emotions, even to other people. If that is you, I want to pray with you. And I don't want to pray very long. I want God to speak. If that is you, I want you to come. I'll pray with you. Otherwise, I want to thank you for coming this morning. We're going to have communion quickly. Let's just have the communion together. And then, if you need prayer, you can come and we'll pray for you. None of us are greater than our secret place. Whatever happens when you're alone, that determines how your days go. It's just one of those facts of life. Even people who don't believe, whatever we decide right then, that secret place, that determines if things are going to go to the left or to the right. But we know the one who knows the secrets. That's the amazing thing. Have you ever thought what would happen if all your thoughts just became very loud to everyone around you? Woo! Woo! I don't know. Some people will most probably come to me, Carlos, was that you? I said, no. It's most probably him. But I didn't open my mouth. You know, the secret place. But you know, that's the place that God wants to walk in, and He wants to have a conversation about us right there. Because He's not intimidated by it. Father, we consecrate our minds, our thoughts, our emotions to You, and we do this in remembrance of You. You had the perfect life, the perfect prayer life. Let's eat and drink together. Thank You for praying this for us day and night. Seizing by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need any prayer, please come. I'll pray with you. Thank you for coming this morning, and just enjoy the time of prayer and fasting with us. It's just going to be amazing doing this together.